Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
10 days. Astros will be on the field in 10 days. Got to see a Springer dinger and a two-run bomb from the baseball messiah known by his government of Alex Bregman yesterday. That's what it sounded like. Also saw the debut of something that I hate. I think John likes it, but I think he might also just be messing with me by saying what? That he likes it. Fake crowd noise is alive. Fake crowd noise is alive at the juice box, and John Lopez is acting like he's okay with it. Here's what it sounded like. This is real.
Yeah.
So when you turn on AT&T Sportsnet and you turn on the Astros, you're not going to see anything in the stands, but you're going to hear this. And John Lopez is okay with it.
I am. Look, you know for a fact, when we talked about this in the past, I was like, yeah, I don't know about this. I don't know if I'm going to be down with, you know, fake screams, fake ambient noise, fake crowd noise during baseball games when there's no fans there. I got to tell you, I thought it was pretty dang cool. I mean, it's something that we've been conditioned.
How low is your bar right now?
My bar is high, baby. I'm telling you, man, it's something that we've been conditioned. If you watched, you know, Three's Company, you know, if you watched any of those, you know, those old sitcoms that had piped in fake crowd noise, you've already been conditioned to this. There's nothing wrong with it. I think it adds to the atmosphere.
No, there is no atmosphere. There's no fans. What do you mean?
Like, there is atmosphere. It adds to it.
It doesn't add to it. It subtracts from it. It's not authentic.
How? It makes you feel like you're like it's more real.
No, it's not real because there's no one in the
stands. It's not real, but it makes it feel more real.
It doesn't feel more real. It feels more fake. I want the authentic experience. I want it to be a unique, uncomfortable viewing experience with no crowd noise. What I want, man, and you just want to be jerked around by this fake crowd noise, John.
They
need to get rid of this.
No, they don't. I think it adds to it. I really do.
They need to stop this. Like this has got to stop. Like this.
Why are you so anti crowd noise?
Because I'm pro history, and I just want the authentic viewing experience of watching. Empty stadiums. That's what I want. I want to experience the quiet nature that the players are dealing with. I want to hear some more chatter out of the dugout. I want to hear it mic'd up. That's what I want.
I think you will. I think you will still hear that. But the crowd noise is more for the television audience. I think that's what makes it.
Well, the other thing is you weren't even against these cardboard cutout. This cardboard cutout.
No, I wasn't.
Crap, they're talking about Where is the line in the sand?
Because it's more interactive that way. And what you're talking about there is I think the Oakland A's are doing it. I don't know if other teams are. But what it is you can upload a picture of yourself if you're a season ticket holder in Oakland, and they will place a cardboard cutout of that uploaded picture in your seat, you know, up and down the first and third base lines and behind or whatever. And if a foul ball hits that cutout of you, they're going to send you a game baseball That's more interactive. It makes you feel like you're more a part of it. There's nothing wrong with that.
The one good thing about this, about watching it without fans, is I don't have to watch that fat ass with pit stains, with nacho cheese all over his shirt, and knocking over kids to get foul balls. I don't have to watch that jamoke anymore. That's the one. If there is something positive about the Astros starting the season in 10 days, the fact that I don't have to watch that guy is okay with me, John. Because that's one of the worst things going on in sports. These guys just tackling people for baseballs. Grown-ass men tackling kids for baseballs in the stands. Absolutely.
They got to help their kid get a ball, man.
And it's always a guy wearing a sleeveless T-shirt for some reason. I don't know what it is about the sleeveless T-shirt, but for some reason, the guy that's always tackling the kid is always wearing a sleeveless T-shirt. It never fails. What's the last time you rocked a sleeveless T-shirt?
Outside of, like, exercising, never.
You rock the sleeveless when you exercise? You feel it like that?
Yeah, because the sleeves kind of, when I get sweaty, my sleeves kind of get, like, heavy, and I'm always, like, pulling on my shirt. You know what I mean? When you're running. So I don't have to. It just, I got the guns out, man.
Okay. I see you. I see you. We'll see what happens.
I mean, the sun is out.
Little exhibition, yeah, it damn sure is out. It's out, and it's running heavy right now.
Can I give a shout-out, speaking of which?
Shout-out whoever, man.
I did this on Twitter yesterday.
You just pulled a John McClane on us.
I would also like to give a shout-out.
There we go.
I would also like to give a shout-out. I think you'll co-sign it. If you don't, you're a horrible human being.
Oh, no pressure.
So I'm driving yesterday after the show to do a couple of errands, go pick up, you know, some things here and there. And I'm driving through my neighborhood, and I pass three houses with
big ones,
dudes.
Big ones, obviously, in your neighborhood.
Come on now, obviously. No, just kidding. So I pass three houses with roofers putting on a new roof on these homes. It's what, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon? These dudes have been going at it since 6 or 7 in the morning. Those dudes, there is a special place in heaven for dudes that do that kind of work, man. One summer, a long, long time ago, when I was like 19 years old in college, I worked the summer picking watermelons down in Pearsall, Texas, just for some cash. Okay. I about died, and I was 19 and in pretty good shape. I don't know how these guys do it for a living, day in, day out. Roofers, man. I mean, that it was when I got in my truck. Now I know it was because it was sitting in the heat, but the heat index was probably about 108. But when I got in my truck, it was 116. Those guys are on a roof with the tar paper and everything else and the roofing. That's God's work, dude. That is God's work right there.
No, that is crazy. It gets hot. I mean, I think people, construction workers out there doing their thing, and they got cars going by them too. I mean, there's a lot of people going out there in this heat, and it's just like routine for them. And it is insane, especially when you're roofing and everything, man. Is there a better potential beer than the beer after you get done with that, when you go to the gas station and you get you maybe a snack or something? You're just sweating. You're like so – you're just hot, and you just get that 24-ounce or whatever it is, and then they give you the paper bag for whatever reason.
Note to homeowners who are having roofs done, go buy –
get them some water.
Go buy a giant styrofoam ice chest. Put beer on the bottom, waters on top, and dump a 20-pound bag of ice on it and leave it for them. They'll drink the waters until they're just about done, and then they need to just throw back some beers, man.
Yeah.
Just do it for them.
Shout out to them. Shout out to all the people out there making it happen in different ways. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are a Loophole Texans. So we know that we're going to see the Astros in 10 days. Sounds crazy to say. We're going to see the Astros playing a real game in 10 days. We're going to see the Rockets now in about 16 days. We'll see them. But we don't know if we're going to see Russell Westbrook and James Harden in that 16 days. Maybe so. But as of right now, J-Lo, they're practicing without their two best players and really their only hope at doing anything in this whole bubble experience with the NBA. If they don't have those two guys to start off, you lose to the Mavericks. You're a half game out of falling down to that 7 spot and potentially facing the Clippers in round one.
All right, so will they have them? Let's say, let's assume what some have reported that they won't be here for a while. Whenever Russell Westbrook gets here, Apparently, James Harden is going to get there as well to Orlando. Let's say that's 3 days from now, okay? The Rockets are playing, what, in 10 days? I don't know if they're going to be able to play in that game. Just the protocols they're going to have to go through. They have to pass, I believe, is it 4 or 6 tests before they are allowed to get into practice, and then they're tested regularly after that. Are they still going to be symptomatic? Are they still going to be having the – if they don't play against the Mavericks, that's a big problem. That's a big, big problem. Even if they do get well enough to, you know, to move forward and get into the postseason and play then, losing that first game is going to be huge.
I mean, some people are saying this is an advantage, that they're getting it out of their system. Now, you don't know if you can get it a second time, but if it is just a one-time thing like chicken pox or whatever, you know, some people I saw it presented as, man, good. Harden and Westbrook already got it out of their – out of their – well, we don't know about Harden. I think he just missed his plane the last 6 days. So Russell Westbrook got it out of his system. James Harden just – he just needs to get his alarm set so he can make it to the facility, which, by the way –
it's not that hard on your phone. It really isn't.
By the way, we got to shout out concrete workers. We got some concrete workers on the text line. We got land surveyor. We got mail people. Carrying the mail ain't no joke either.
Nope.
When you're riding around in that car and then having to go through
all those UPS and mail drivers with no air conditioning.
Yeah, UPS folks, Amazon folks. I mean, they've been having to get through it. I'm just glad that they don't have as much traffic right now, because people are ordering more crap right now than they ever have. Like,
yes,
people are ordering online like crazy. So it's not like – I was getting on the elevator the other day, and I was with someone who – worked at FedEx, and I was just talking to him. I was like, so y'all have to, it has to be like a busy time right now. And he's like, yeah, you have no idea, because usually this is kind of the time where it's not dead, but you basically get it's a little bit of a breeze into the holidays, because the holidays is obviously whenever their stuff just gets outrageous. Like, they're working triple shifts, they're doing all that. They're not getting that breathing room. They're not getting that breathing room out there at FedEx and our UPS and our mail guys. They are not getting that right now. Amazon either. That's not happening, because people are ordering more and more stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm doing it all. We're picking up groceries now, and I was wearing my mask and going to the grocery store. Yesterday, I had to pick up some medicine at CVS. That was where I saw those guys on the roofs, and I went in with the mask, but we're ordering groceries now. The windows, they have HEB, which, by the way, you had a love fest with HEB over the weekend.
100% authentic. I'm fortunate. I feel blessed that HEB is in my city. I'm serious. That's nothing. That's just 100% authenticity. No nickels, no dimes, no anything. Like, no.
Yeah, no. They have more windows now, so we're picking up the groceries. Everything else I order from Amazon or online, and, you know, wear your mask otherwise. But these people, man, I'm telling you, just if you work outside and you're in that heat, good gracious, that is to be respected.
Yeah, very much respected. And speaking of respect, Hakeem Olajuwon, one of the most respected guys to ever play ever, but especially in this city, big number 34. He got back in the PSA game. And he has a message for those of you going through the times we're going through.
Hey, everyone. This is Hakeem Olajuwon. Hope you're all doing okay during this challenging time. I know it's hard to do, but we have to keep following the health guidelines, keep washing your hands, stay home as much as possible. It will keep you safe and everyone else as well. God willing, we get through this together. Stay safe.
There's nothing wrong with that. What do you got against the game, man?
I was just reading it, you know. I mean, it kind of reminded me of Antonio Brown's cameo, but, you know, it's all good. I love you, Hakeem. I love you, Dream. You're fighting the good fight out there, man. Just listen to the Dream.
He is fighting the good fight. That's one way to put it.
Fighting the good fight. Justin Reed fighting the good fight as well. But is he thinking about sitting out this season? We'll hear from the Texans safety next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Justin Reed, he spoke. When he speaks, you smile. He's an uplifting fella, that Justin Reed. Even though he called me an idiot on the air once, I forgive you, Justin.
Forgot about that.
John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Here is the third-year safety, most known for making the two biggest plays on defense last year and calling me an idiot, talking about the delay of the season, the holdup. Texans rookie's supposed to report next weekend. Justin Reed talking about the holdup.
I don't think that it's an issue. I think that it'll be great because there still are so many questions circling on how we're going to be able to have a season. What's the experience going to be like for the fans? How we're going to be able to make sure we're keeping not only the players, but the players' families safe. You know? And I think it'll just buy a little bit of extra time for some of those questions to be answered.
It makes sense. He's one of the smartest guys you'll ever be around. He certainly is candid, and he kind of has a grasp for what players are thinking because he is one. And so it just makes sense what he's saying there. What do they say? An ounce of prevention versus a pound of whatever the saying goes. Just a little bit of a tap of the brakes here, I think, is what is in store.
Now the question is, how much would you like to delay it, Justin? I know you love football. I know you want to be out there. How much of a delay are we talking, man?
I think it would be beneficial to delay the season 2 or 3 weeks so that way we can answer a lot of those questions that us as players, people as far as the fans and the coaching staff, just procedurally, questions on how the season's going to happen. I think it would be beneficial to delay the season.
Just a couple weeks, few weeks, which means, by the way, there would be Valentine's football on a Sunday. Could be big ones, too. Valentine's Day and the NFL, Sunday, February 14, 2021.
What it also means is your Chiefs and Ravens games might be pushed to the back of the schedule.
Yeah, that sucks.
Might be.
That sucks.
Well, maybe not,
because they might be. If the Ravens were 14-2 last year. Now, I know they won the last game, but RG3 started. Chiefs won theirs because they needed it after the Patriots lost. But a lot of times these badass teams, these good teams like the Chiefs and the Ravens, at the end of the year, just kind of coasting.
Well, here's the other thing. That Thursday night football game, if it's pushed back to the end of the schedule or mid-season, whatever, however they do it, you won't have to worry about ring ceremonies and, all these big events surrounding the Chiefs getting their, celebrating their Super Bowl championship. It'll just be another week in December, or whatever it is. So I wouldn't be opposed to that, push those two games, toward the end of the season.
From a strategy standpoint, you got to think you probably want to face them later rather than sooner. What about the guys that aren't going to be on the field? Because there's a lot of decisions that need to be made. You got to talk about safety. You got to talk about, you got to consider your family. We've seen players in baseball. We've seen players in basketball opt out. Justin, have you had these types of thoughts?
If they did not want to play this season, I support them 100% with that. But speaking for me, myself, I 1,000% will be playing.
I mean, how much more can you co-sign a guy's statement there? I will never pass judgment on anybody saying no thank you. More and more of them are doing it. I think some NFL players, a lot more NFL players will do it if those masks are implemented, because it just directly affects them and their performance. And that turns into money. So, yeah, I would never pass judgment, but he's going to play.
He is going to play, 100%. I can guarantee you that. He would walk barefoot to play football. But what about these tests, Justin? You've had to take these tests. We've seen people sticking stuff up their nose all the way up to the brain. We've seen people spitting in cups. A lot of gross ways that this test, this Rona test, is taken. Do you have any suggestions, and do you have any jokes, Justin?
I hope that they come up with a different version of the test, because I've had it a couple of times, and it is not very funny. maybe you have like a gummy bear test, You have different flavors of gummy bears, but the bear is all the same color. And you got to eat one and say what flavor it is so we know if you can taste it or not. I'm just throwing that out there.
Gummy bears. Gummies, man, I don't know what it is, John. But for some reason, I feel like gummies are getting more popular among middle-aged people. I don't know why, but I just always hear people talking about gummies. Like, gummies appear to be a lot more popular. I'm not sure why exactly, but they are.
They could, you got me. I'm stumped. I don't know why that would be. But you got a big vat of gummies at your apartment, I saw. So we'll see what the deal is. What the deal is there.
Maybe a nerd rope.
A nerd rope, yeah. There you go. Those are good. Look, here's the other part about this that that's kind of a nobody's talking about.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
All these things that Justin Reed is saying and that other players have said about let's make sure on testing, let's make sure on how we implement practices in training camp, let's tap the brakes and make sure that all the players come back healthy and are in an environment where they don't get hurt in training camp. All these things that players are saying, why aren't teams saying that too? We know the answer. I mean, I'm just that wasn't a legit question there, but you know, shouldn't teams be saying the same thing? Hey, you know what? Let's tap the brakes a little bit on this season and make sure that our players are safe and we can test them right and that they have the right equipment and they're surrounded with the right things. That's not to say the NFL isn't implementing, you know, safeguard practices, because they are, but the reason that the NFL teams are not nearly as vocal about, hey, maybe we should press pause for a little bit, is because what, Landry? What is it?
Money.
Money. Money, money, money.
Follow the moolah.
Yep.
That's where the money is. Now, how weird is it going to look? How weird are these face masks going to look? We saw Oakley put out a prototype of what a special shield could look like for NFL players. Justin Reed asked about that.
I am not a fan of it, honestly, because I think it would just be difficult for me to breathe with it. But if those are the rules that are put in place with it, and that's a game that everyone is playing, we're all on the same field doing the same thing, then in my mind, it's still fair.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong. I think, you know, at what point, where's the line here versus security and safety and health versus players being able to play? Because JJ's already said he's not down with it. In fact, he said he probably wouldn't play.
Dude, that was headline porn.
Don't you think?
I watched the interview. It was a disgrace.
Really? John,
trust me, he was clearly joking there, and ESPN ran with it. They got you. Like they even get the
well,
best.
To be fair, I was
you were
was
on vacation. It was disgraceful headline porn.
But regardless, he's clearly against them, and Justin is clearly against them. I wonder how many players, you know, would actually like opt out.
Yeah, I don't know. JJ was laughing. It was a throwaway. Florio didn't even use it, and then ESPN ran with it. Did not know what was going on there, and they got the OG. What would it take for you to not fish? Like, if you had to use a certain piece of equipment or something, what would it take for you to not fish?
I would not fish if the only bait I could use was live croaker. I am anti-croaker.
Doesn't that increase the catching?
It can if you're not good, but I'm good.
Right, let me ask you this. I'm being serious, and I need you to be open-minded with me. John Lopez, okay. Landry Locker, Figgy Fig. Putting a bow on the Texans, whether or not they're going to report next weekend. You've offered to take me and Figgy out fishing. If
yes.
I went with you and I just brought my own croaker, you didn't have to worry about it, would I still be able to get on the boat?
No.
Why? It's my own choice.
I would let you fish with live shrimp. Live shrimp is it keeps the bait camps open. You can still catch a few more fish, conceivably, if you're not, you know, talented with artificials. But live croaker is cheating, man, and it affects the croaker population. The croaker needs to be a sport fish. No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't let you on.
I just need to catch fish. I'm not there. I'm not there.
I'll
to
get
win.
You some live shrimp, man.
I'm not there to win contests. I'm there to catch fish. So
I'm not there to help croaker soakers catch fish.
Okay, well, different strokes for different folks, I guess. Go fishing with the OG, and I'm taking the croaker. You better believe it.
You're not.
713-572.
I'll be releasing them into the wild.
4610 if you want to get in. What are the Texans in the eyes of agents that represent players, and am I what John Lopez says I am? Next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker. Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at Radio.com/Dell.
All right. We started saying and looking.
at contracts that would happen after Pat Mahomes signed his. And a contract has been signed. No, it's not Deshaun Watson. No, it's not Dak Prescott. But the Kansas City Chiefs have avoided drama with arguably their best defensive player. Chris Jones gets a 4-year deal from the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs, J-Lo, they appear to be poised to make another Super Bowl run. I don't want to crown them this early, but what's really going to stop them? Maybe a Jones holdout and sitting out the season, talking about doing it like Le'Veon Bell. Maybe that would have hurt the defense and it would have given, you know, some breathing room for other teams. But I just don't know how in the hell anyone's going to stop the Kansas City Chiefs from returning to where they were last year and where they were an overtime away from being the year before that.
Well, they're going to have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
No question about it.
No. I'm saying nobody's going to get in their way. They're going to be making a deep run into the AFC Championship game, the Super Bowl. Now, if something fluky happens in one of those two games against another really good team, that's a whole different thing. But no, they're barring injury, they are the heavy, heavy favorites to win the Super Bowl again. No question about it. They're all in. You want to know what? What being all in and win now mode is, that we talk about it with the Texans and win now mode. It sounds a little funny when you trade DeAndre Hopkins, right? But you do bring in and pay Laremy Tunsil, all these other things that they've done. And we talk about win now. That's not win now mode. It's like, what was that movie? That's not a knife. That's a knife. The Chiefs right now are in true win now mode.
I mean, they're in true win-now mode. And, I mean, you can spend your resources. And the Texans are spending more resources, really, than the Kansas City Chiefs are when it comes to trading draft picks and everything. But the Chiefs are using their investments wisely, and they're bringing back – they've signed their two of their best players to long-term deals, Pat Mahomes. Now Chris Jones gets the deal. Texans didn't even see Chris Jones last year. I mean, that's something that we got to – I mean, the Texans won 31-24 – in week six of last season in Kansas City. Good win. Chris Jones did not play, and he also did not play in the divisional round. So when the Texans do face the Kansas City Chiefs, if it does go according to plan 58 days from now, it'll be the first look that they get of Chris Jones, who just signed a 4-year deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. Interesting.
Crocodile Dundee, by the way.
Who is Crocodile Dundee? What is that?
That was the movie where he goes, "That's not a knife. This is a knife."
Oh, yeah. Never saw it. Yeah. Was it good?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Oh, yeah. Good? Real good. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Crocodile, have you seen Steve Irwin's son? He's like just like him. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah. They're doing the same thing.
Yeah. Is that smart? I mean, do you really want
to? I don't know.
I mean, I'm not trying to like take anything away from the family business, but swimming with stingrays and alligators, it just didn't seem like something that is like the ideal thing to follow. But apparently,
speaks to, you know, like a lot of people might say, well, you're only in that business because your dad was.
This is 100% yes.
Well, but here's the point. Yeah, I'm only in this business because my dad was, because I was around my dad a lot. I learned the business. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you're only in radio because your dad was in radio, or you're only in construction because your dad was in construction. Well, yeah, because I know a lot about that business because I was around my dad a lot. So it makes sense. I don't have a problem.
I never feel sorry for these guys when they get bit by crocodiles when you're running through the wild and stuff, honestly. Like, that's just as extreme as it gets. Like,
4 years, $85 million.
Is what Chris Jones got. So 4 years, 85. They already gave Pat Mahomes $250 million. And I mean, let's be honest, Pat Mahomes taking the deal he got probably made this possible to where they could orchestrate such a deal. 4 years, 85 milli for Chris Jones. That is definitely
60 guaranteed.
Some good money. My gosh, it's a hell of a contract right there.
I'd
say he's probably happy and ready to go. The Athletic surveyed 30 NFL agents. These 30 agents represent 400 active players. Here are just some quotes about what the Texans did this offseason from these agents. Talking about the most interesting or surprising moves in free agency, one agent said, "Can I pick a trade? DeAndre Hopkins traded to the Cardinals, but also David Johnson's contract going back to Houston. That was a shock." Eric Murray also got a vote for worst offseason move made by an organization. And another GM brought up Randall Cobb He says, some receivers, I believe, were overpaid. One guy in particular that came to mind is Randall Cobb. It was very surprising that the Texans paid him what they did. A lot of people thought that was kind of a head-scratcher based on his production last year and his age.
Yeah, and I don't have a we talked about it. I think, you know, Randall Cobb can be potentially, you know, a big part of this club if he's healthy, but he's had the same injuries or worse than Will Fuller, and he's had less production, and he's bounced around. This is his third team in 3 years, right?
Right. Yes.
So, yeah, I get that.
This is true. Here's quotes on the Texans who got 11 of the 30 votes for the worst offseason. Quotes. That trade is still mind-boggling. Getting Hopkins for David Johnson, yeah. Bill O'Brien, there's no way he should be the general manager. Quote, I just don't understand them whatsoever. Quote, they rid themselves of their best player when not forced. Quotes about Bill O'Brien. Chris Ballard, by the way, getting all kinds of praise in this survey that you can check out on The Athletic.
I thought the number of votes that worst offseason got for the Texans was mind-blowing. You only had 30 of these guys, what do they call them, decision-makers and agents that were polled. But they do represent 400 players, which is almost a quarter of all the players in the entire league. And that last part where we said they rid themselves of their best player when not forced, that's just depressing, man. That 11 people thought the Texans were worst. And they said those kinds of things. It's crazy.
Among the general managers or front office leaders, whom do you trust the least? Bill O'Brien got 3 votes. Quote, just talks out of both sides of his mouth. I don't believe a word he says. Here's another question. Among general managers, this is the Athletic survey with agents or front office leaders, who is the toughest negotiator? Someone said Bill O'Brien. Quote, he's probably in the tough category. Really? He just doesn't know what he's doing. He's trying to be a head coach and GM and negotiator all at the same time. So I don't understand that. If he's a tough negotiator, typically I think a guy who's going to get the best deal, a guy who it's harder to kind of screw over. I guess he's just saying he's in over his head and it's hard to negotiate with someone that's that in over their head. Is that what they're saying?
You know what I think it is? And hear me out on this. I know that's always dangerous when somebody says that. I thought of the draft day deal with the Lions that when he had that meltdown on Zoom on, well, it was on camera, but he was on Zoom and he was messing with the Zoom. He said that allegedly was reportedly John McClain swears it was a deal that they had with the Lions that fell through. Now that easily could have been the Lions that backed out. Let's just be fair. But what he's saying here, agents are saying, is that he's tough to deal with, as in you don't know, quite know what you're getting with him. You know, tough as in it's hard to figure out, not tough as in he's a tough negotiator, you know, driving a hard bargain. I think they're saying it's hard to figure him out. It's hard to understand exactly what the deal's going to be. And it made me think about that Lions draft day deal. I wonder if that was a factor there.
Could be.
Madison with the Zoom.
But I will say, a lot of guys who've made trades with Bill O'Brien probably enjoy it. If it were a GM perspective, they probably say he's the most charming guy in the world. you end up getting some of the moves that have been criticized, but hopefully B.O.B. proves us all wrong and he has the last laugh and he can tell all these anonymous agents and athletic writers that they suck too. Chris Jones, by the way, if you're just tuning in, of the Chiefs, 4-year deal. 4 years, what, 83 mil, 60 mil guaranteed?
Yep.
Pretty good money. Pretty damn good money for Chris Jones and the Chiefs. Well, that's nice of you to take a pay cut. I know a lot of people are doing that right now, but that's very thoughtful of you.
Thank you.
John, what the hell did you put on the show doc today? Because I don't even know what the heck this had to do with anything. You want to put some sort of thing to practice? Am I Larry David? I don't know what's going on here, but
this is so good.
Okay.
So this is awesome.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. It's cocky.
Because you are Larry David. You know, you do things. You tend to not have a filter in public settings sometimes. It's actually charming in a way, and it certainly helps this show have the success that this show has had. because, you say what you think. Sometimes, no matter what. So I came across six scenarios that Larry from Curb Your Enthusiasm, which by the way has been redone. It's going to be a new season this year. They've added. So I got six scenarios. I'm going to give you the scenario that Larry David did, what he did in these scenarios. You tell me if you're going to co-sign him or if you thought that was a little bit much, maybe a little uncomfortable, too uncomfortable, or a little bit awkward.
Okay.
You ready?
Go ahead.
Scenario number one.
Oh, my gosh.
Larry is stuck behind a woman at an ice cream shop. This woman samples more than two flavors. He jumps in and just says, what are you doing? You sample one, you sample two, and you move on, you pick your flavor. WWLD, what would Landry do in this scenario?
It really depends on the flavors, honestly. If they're seasonal flavors, then that's fine. Like, you don't know what they taste like. But if you're sitting there sampling the chocolate, the vanilla, or the strawberry, like, get over yourself and keep it moving, lady. So the answer to this one is it would really just kind of depend what the flavors were that she was sampling.
Yeah, but for the most part, you'd do the same thing as Larry David. All right, scenario number two.
Well, that's a hell of a leap, but okay.
Larry is in a long buffet line, okay? And it's at a country club, so it's a country club buffet. Some dude who's already eating, he's with his group at his table, and he gets up, and he goes directly, doesn't get in line, it's a pretty long line, he goes directly to, I believe it was like scalloped potatoes, and gets seconds on the potatoes. So a couple of the people in line go, hey, man, the line starts right here. Why don't you get back in line? Larry jumps in and says, no. Well, you never wait for seconds. You can cut if you're just getting seconds because you've already waited in line is his point.
No, you gotta go in the line like everybody else when you're seconds. Now, you can line jump if someone's taking too long and if they're just kind of mingling okay. around with the chicken, trying to get all the drums out of there or something like that. Yeah, but no, you got to wait in line. But you can line jump. There is line jumping allowed.
Okay, so you're one and one. You're one and one in terms of what would Landry do as in Larry David. All right, this is one that had me thinking of you right away. So Larry gets to the doctor's appointment, and he gets on the elevator, just kind of saunters onto the elevator like you saunter, and he sees some lady rushing to hop on the elevator. He holds the door for her. They get to the floor, the same floor. The elevator door's open. He lets the woman get off the elevator first. He's being a gentleman. Well, then he realizes the woman is going to the same doctor's office as him. So she, because he's a gentleman, signs in first. She immediately gets the next appointment, and Larry has to wait. So he kind of creates a scene and says, hey, lady, you should have let me. I need to go see the doctor, not you. You need to wait because I was here first to the elevator, and I let you on, and then I let you off first. What would Landry do?
All right, he's doing too much there. That's just that he's giving me a headache even thinking like that. Although it does kind of suck when you let someone over and then they make the green light and you don't. So I can kind of relate mm-hmm. to it on a different level. But, yeah, he's got to just let that go. He's got to just charge that one to the
All
game.
Right. So you're one with Larry, two not with Larry. Here's another one. Halloween night. Teenagers without costumes knock on his door, and he refuses to give them candy because, number one, they're teenagers, and number two, they're not wearing candy. What would Landry do?
100% the right move. That's 100,000% the right move. You got to – I mean, come on, kids. Come on, kids. Leave it. It's a young person's holiday.
It's Halloween. Just give out the candy.
Nah, not to these teenagers.
When if they did have a costume?
Sure, but you got to have the costume. I mean, if you're going to push it like that, you got to at least have the costume.
I got two more. What would Landry do? All right, so Larry is invited to a party, and he's told by the host, oh, no, don't bring a gift. We just want you at the party. So he doesn't bring a gift. Everyone else at the party brought a gift. And so when he shows up without a gift, they start looking at him all judgmentally, and I saw a couple of people say something. He's like, hey, the host said for me not to bring a gift. And everybody's like, yeah, but he means he was just being nice. You should have brought a gift. What would Landry do?
I mean, I would have brought the gift anyway. I mean, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would probably be the situation. I would have brought the gift anyway.
All right, so yeah. So two Larry, three not Larry. Here's another one that made me think of you because I could see you doing this. So a woman friend of his asks Larry, tells him, don't let me have any dessert no matter what. So he walks into a restaurant with his buddy. He sees the lady with a piece of cake in front of her delivered from the waiter. So he reaches onto her table, grabs the piece of cake, and takes it away from her. She gets mad, says she never wants to see him again, but he said, you know, hey, you told me no matter what, you can't have any dessert. So she gets angry, and the relationship, this friendly relationship, is hindered. What would Landry do?
He did the right thing. He was being a good compatibility partner. Like, don't say, you know, don't let me do this no matter what, and then get mad at the cake. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be a compatibility partner whenever you're trying to have some willpower. So she's in the wrong. She's in the wrong on this one.
Oh, man. But sometimes they're like, okay, just this once. Just let me have this cake this one time.
Yeah. Yeah, but no. What, like, if she asks you to not let her have cake no matter what, then that's what you do. That's the bottom line there. Mm. I mean, yeah, there's principle there. He's got some good philosophies. He's got some bad philosophies. So we'll see what happens. How do you feel about the I've noticed a trend lately, and I don't know why. It's very strange. But the last three times I've gone to the grocery store, in the express line,
mm-hmm.
people have been saying, hey, I got two orders. And they're basically going through the express line, but they're dividing up the orders now to like 15 and 15. I even saw someone say, I have three.
Wow.
Is that trying a little too hard to cheat the system?
Yeah, that's how'd you handle it, Larry?
I just stood there. Just stood there and let them do whatever they wanted to do. Didn't. Okay. Although I do think it is probably one of the rudest things in the world to go through the express line with more than there is. I think it's just it's really strange because it really shows a lack of like being a human being. Because
what's go ahead.
Because you're disrespecting everybody who is going to go through there with 15 or less, and you're putting the poor checker or whatever in a tough spot to where they're looking at your like 40 items and you're just going through there like it's nothing. Like, you know what an express right. line is. It's not like unique. It's not a unique feature. Everybody has an express line. Like it's a natural thing. So it's not like you don't know. That mm-hmm. drives me crazy when people do that. I think it is one of the rudest things in the world to do. I just chill. I don't really say anything. I'm not saying I haven't in the past, but at this point I wouldn't. But I think to me that's one of the rudest things that people do, J-Lo.
What's the number? Like, let's say it's 15 items or less. We all have done it. We've all stood there and kind of counted, you know, the people in front of us. You know, that looks like more than 15, so you kind of count. Oh, okay, 16, I'll let them have it, you know. But what's the number that kind of pushes you over the edge?
Probably like, I mean, 18,
20, right?
18, 20, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, usually it's real intense, and it's just like nothing happened, and they just go about it.
It should be 10 and under.
I got two orders.
It should be 10.
It should
I'm
be
with
10
you, Figgy.
Because sometimes, sometimes I go in Walmart and just have one item. I shouldn't be behind somebody with 20 items.
Well, most people got some actual class, too, when they go to the grocery store. And if they see you have two or three things and they have a full basket, I'll always say, hey, go ahead. Or you can go ahead of me. And I feel like at least over half the people that I interact with in that situation let you go in front of them.
And it also depends on the exact items. Like, I don't like when someone gets in there, you know, whatever. They got their milk, bread, and eggs. And then they got, like, four cases of Coke, two giant cases of water. So they're hurling all this big stuff on there. And the person has to come around to kind of scan it with the little gun thing. And that's not – that's you should be in the regular line with that big stuff.
The other thing is, man, like, HEB, I love you. What does it take to get the full-size shrimp cocktail back? They're only selling the small one. Like, what, do I need football season
for really?
That? Yeah. I can't get my large shrimp cocktail?
Might be seasonal. Might be seasonal now.
Man, they always have it, and they haven't had it since March, which obviously there's something going on, but they're selling the small one. Everybody likes a good full-size shrimp cocktail, HEB. I need y'all to get this together.
That is a great Larry David right there by you.
Full-size shrimp cocktail. Need it. 713-572-4610.
How hard is it to have
full-size
shrimp cocktail?
Seriously. Got to get it, man. You got the small one. Absolute joke. Around the NFL, Cam Newton's message in the Kansas City Chiefs. They eliminate the one potential hurdle that could prevent them from being full strength when they take on the Texans next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.